last year, which was pretty good, if I may say so myself, wasn't recorded because we had a mess up there with the buttons. Everybody was trying to help, so one person turned it on, the next person turned it on again, and the next person turned it on, and anyway, it ended up off. So with your permission, I just want to review a little bit of what we said. Shouldn't be lost, and more important, go into something very, very deep and very, very beautiful. But what we learned in the Nefesh HaChaim in Zion, in Perek Tazayin, let's just go over it quickly. Ki yadua shenefesh ha'adam bechlala hiklula migimel bechinas pratim. The nefesh ha'adam, and we define in Perek Tesvav at the end, that nefesh pirushai ratzayin. So whenever we use the word nefesh in this context, nefesh ha'chaim, we're talking about the ratzon. Ratzon, by the way, is a fascinating thing. My ratzon, what do I want to do? Where did that come from? What's the makar of ratzon? Possibly one of the most important questions a person can ask themselves. Like, why do I have this ratzon? That we have certain ratzonos, we have them, but why? But whatever my ratzon is, that's my nefesh. And then I have the nefesh, the ruach, neshama, which correspond to Maisa, Dibur, and Machshava. Maisa, Dibur, and Machshava. Meaning that the nefesh is the, let's call it the lower part of my existential self. So the nefesh is Maisa, and the ruach, as everybody knows, is my and then neshama is way out there. So there's nefesh, ruach, neshama, which corresponds to maisa, dibur, machshava. Machshava, dibur, maisa, neshama, nefesh. Right? That's the way that works. But then it gets exciting. V'gam b'chol teva yesh gimel b'chinois. That it's much more exciting than that, because if you take a simple letter, aleph, beis, of the aleph beis, a simple letter, so that letter, understand that the Sefer HaYetzirah, at the beginning of almost every Sefer Kabbalah, the first chapter, which is about as far as I get, the first chapter, it talks about how the world was created with Oisiyos. Oisiyos. The Pirush HaDavar is that an Ois, a letter, is the very first physical manifestation of the spirituality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or to put it in the words that we're used to, yesh me'ayin, the process of yesh me'ayin, something coming from nothing, ex nihilo. That process begins with an ois. So a letter doesn't yet have a sound. It certainly doesn't have a word, and it certainly doesn't have a sentence or a paragraph or a thought. It's not an essay, it's just a letter. But the letter is the very first articulation of Ruchnius turning into Gashmius. It's in that letter where it all begins. That's where it all begins. And I want to learn more about that today. So, Chol Teva Yesh Gimel B'chinois, if you look at a letter, there are three parts to it. Maisa, Dibur, Machshava, the same three parts. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Maisa, Dibur, Machshava, Naran. Pay good attention. Oisi ois, nekudois, vitamin. So there's the letter itself, the font of the letter, which is the gashmius of it, the goof. That's the goof. Unto itself it has no meaning, it has no sound. It has no pronunciation. You need to have nekudos. Nekudos already a mesura. What the nekudos is. It could have been completely different. But that's, we know how to pronounce a word. So nekudos give us a way to say that letter. Without the nekudos, or without, we're just saying nekudos, that'll be necessarily three dots and a comma and a patach. I do mean that, but What we're talking about is the way, the derech of pronunciation of the letter is what starts to give the letter some meaning. Otherwise, it's just a letter. It's not, it doesn't have any meaning yet. And then there's the tamim, which are also not written in the Sefer Torah. Trup, what we call the trup, the musical notes. And the tamim, interestingly, is connected. So let's get the chart clear. It's nefesh, ruach, neshama, maisa, dibur, machshava, oisiyos, the font, nekudos, tamim, the musical notes. Then the nefesh ha-chaim in the Haggah tells us, don't forget, on top of every letter. So it's the tagin because the nefesh is divided into two. There's my actual physical body, and then there's also gashmius, my personality, how I am, what I can do physically. Those are the tagim. And I pointed out, which I'd also like to go into a little bit more in the next few minutes, is that, and Chaim asked to explain this more, that Rabbi Akiva, from all the people in history, truth is, from all the people in history I'd love to meet, it's Rabbi Akiva. I'm going to have to talk to him, just see him from far away. but Rabbi Akiva was Yoshev Adarish, Tilei Tilim Shel Halachas, I'll call Tag V'Tag. Millions of Halachas, Tilei Tilim, millions of Halachas, I'll call Tag V'Tag, just darshaning the Tagim. Ad Kedei Kach, the Gemara says of Halachas, the Moshe Rabbeinu was Chol Shodaito, he became sort of depressed over the fact that he didn't understand these Tilei Tilim Shel Halachas from every Tag. Let me just say something before I even explain it. I should say this at the end, but I want to say it now. That it doesn't mean that Gemara is learned wrong by everybody, in my opinion. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know those halachas. He knew all the halachas. He heard it from Hashem. What it means is he didn't see it in the Tag. Understand the right shot here. He saw what the chalishas hadas of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara describes in Menachas, that he saw Rabbi Akiva being derish tilei tilim shal halachas, I'll call tav gitag. If ataroed zebatag, that's the question. Where do you see it in the Tag? Why did it take all the way till Rabbi Akiva to be able to see it in the Tag? Tag, a little crown, like a yud has a little shot in his gets. It's not even the ois, it's the Tag. Halachos are those things which are not halachos are not Kabbalah. Halachos is what you have to do. You wash your hands like this, you get up like that, you daven like this, you put on tefillin like that. That's what halachos are. Very much in the world of guf and nefesh.
Is that because
Moshe Rabbeinu was above that. So the whole idea of Rabbi Akiva, which we'll talk about, was taking the Torah Shebal Peh, which was above, and bringing it down to earth, right into the Tag. So he's derish tilei tilim shel halachas daka b'chol tag v'tag shebatayru. So it's gevaldik. If we just go a little further in the nefesh ha-chaim, oisiyos hei mechinos maisa. Oisiyos we have to look at on our chart, which you don't have. The oisiyos are mechinos maisa. Kimetzius oisiyos greida b'loin nekudasi efshir shiyu elo b'mechinos maisa. It's just a maisa. Somebody writes a letter. You could write a letter in the sand. It doesn't have a meaning yet. It's a maisa. Gashmius. It's like something that you can. It's something that's there, but what is it?
Inanimate.
This is an ice, in the sense that if you don't turn it on, it's nothing. It's a piece of plastic. You turn it on, it can do all kinds of things, right? It has to be nidlak. You look at a Sefer Torah, there's no nekudos, there's no trup, there's no musical notes, there's not even any. Altogether, nefesh has two parts to it, the guf and the nefesh. Shubachidas Baisak Yadua. Alakudais Hei Bachidas Ruach. Shanakudas Bai Bibaisius Ayadea Dibur Shaladab Shubachidas Ruach. Allows you to pronounce it, enunciate. Kamashikar Chiyasa Adab Ayadea Bachidas Ruach Shabai. What makes us into an Adab? Ruach. Breathing, speaking.
Does that have a connotation of movement?
Why movement?
Because the earth is inanimate. It doesn't move, it's static.
But that's just a characteristic. It's not the essence.
When you blow something, it's already dynamic.
Okay, it's part of it. It's part of it. But the main part of it is breath. The main part of being able to speak is breath. If you're out of breath, you can't speak. Teitzei ruchai, yashuv lad basai. That's a base. A base, you know, with all the sophisticated ways today of figuring out if somebody's alive or dead. It's hard to figure out because you could artificially keep somebody alive. So there's all kinds of definitions of brain death and his heart stopped and all kinds of things. But in halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says one very simple thing. You take a feather, you put it by his nose. If it's making wind, he's alive. If it's not, he's not. It's all about nefesh because it's all about the ending of the process of vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him ruach bebalala. And as long as he can breathe, he's alive. And if he can't breathe, he's not alive. Simple. El shechelik min nafshei nisher bayadayin ki yadua. Person stops breathing. His body's still there, yeah? He's still standing there. Still sitting there. Is he alive? Is he dead? You try to give him artificial breathing. You can do oxygen, you could put in a respirator, you could do all kinds of things, but what you're looking for is breath. Without that, without breath, so that's ruach. There's no way to get the ois out. And then he says, the music of the word, the music, that's machshava. I gave a mashal. I think it's a good mashal. Mashal l'ma'ad davar daima to, you know, if you want to find out if somebody knows how to learn Gemara, you don't have to ask him a lot of questions. You just have to say the Gemara. You don't even have to translate because if he has the niggun right, he knows what the Gemara is saying. It's all barova. If he knows how to do that, unless he learned how to fake it, that's also a mashal. if you know how to say teku or right. Tiyufta derabba, tiyufta. Like if you know the niggun, that means you understand it. So anybody who can, you can't possibly know the niggun without understanding it, or you can't understand it without the inflection. It's the same way if somebody's talking. If somebody's talking, there's havana to what you're saying. You understand. You're not just reading. This is a problem, by the way. Like if you're a bit of a speaker. And you're nervous, so you write it down and you read from a paper. It's horrible. It's horrible to listen to, and it's horrible, but the only thing is you don't say the wrong thing. People like that are nervous, like the President of the United States, they need to read. But the problem is the inflection is always wrong. If you watch it, the question becomes an answer, the answer becomes a question, the high becomes low. I was reading the speech from this rabbi. It was a conservative rabbi, so he had notes of inflection on the speech between the lines. So on it, it said, weak point, scream here. Okay. Weak note, scream. Okay, so that's what the Nefesh HaChaim says. But the gevaldik is that the tamim, the notes, the music of the Torah, which is not written there at all, is the neshama of the Torah. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, that's the neshama of the Torah. The neshama is the deep havana. That's what the music, the Ramchal says, the kalach, the Ramchal says that malachim can only sing. Because it's only neshama, there's no nefesh, there's no ruach. They can't talk. Whenever you say, it says, vayadaber ha-malach, don't be fooled, singing. Malachim are singing. That's all they can do. And they can only sing, by the way, in harmony. Karazel zel v'amar. Karazel zel v'amar. They can only sing with somebody else. See, it's a beautiful thing about neshama, just while I'm here, that, you know, I might have mentioned this before, that, like, if I'm talking, or you're talking, and somebody else is talking at the same time. So it's disturbing, you know, because if I'm talking, you're talking at the same time. So like it's confusing everybody. You can't talk while somebody else is talking. If three people are talking at the same time, so it becomes a big billboard. If 100 people are talking at the same time, that sounds like a shoal. Certain shoals, like 100 people are talking at the same time. So like nothing is, like you can't, it's impossible to daven. On the other hand, look what happens when you're singing. When you're singing, one person singing, no. If two people are singing together, it's beautiful. Even a bad voice, 50 people are singing together, even if they don't have good voices, they're just making some kind of noise, you know? But 50 people are singing together, it's beautiful. You go to a concert, everybody's singing. You go to a shul, everybody's singing. It's out of steer. So why is it that when everybody's talking, it's terrible, it's noise pollution? When everybody's singing, it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
You're talking, they're not saying the same words.
Even if they're saying the same words, it's not right. The same. Singing, and singing doesn't have to be the same words. One's harmonizing, one's saying these words. It works out good because singing is the neshama. So when the chibur is on the level of neshama, not on the level of ruach, there's complete achdus. And that's why I have a karav zel zeh, like karav zel zeh kol alayla by the shira. They couldn't say shira the malachim. Like the Gemara says, like karav zel zeh kol alayla, malachim couldn't get close to each other to say shira, because by shira you need biksha malachi asher esloim shira. They couldn't say shira. Like Karav Zel Zeh Kol Alayla, the Chumash says, because by Shira you need V'Kara Zel Zeh V'Yomar. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
They said that Reb Chaim Moser could carry on two or three conversations.
No, in writing by Reb Chaim Moser. He was writing three things.
He was talking to people. And also beside two telephones in his ear.
Yeah.
Reb Simcha Wasserman told me he saw him do it.
They had telephones.
What?
He had a telephone. I got it.
Yeah, he had two telephones.
But it was Yadua, Reb Chaim Moser was multifunctioning. it's Yadua that he was able to do that. Okay.
So,
but that doesn't mean that if he was taught, he wasn't, what he wasn't doing is saying two things at one time. That he wasn't doing. I want to share with you something. I want to talk a little bit quickly because we're limited in time. This is Nefesh HaChayim. Let's move over to the Chassidim, the Kedushas Levi, or Levi Yitzchak Barditchev. Kedushas Levi. The Barditchev was a Talmud of the Magid, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And almost all of the Barditchev is based on what he learned from the Baal Shem Tov. A tremendous Lamdin, by the way. The Barditchev, like Levi Yitzchak Barditchev, was a tremendous Lamdin, like everybody should learn. This has nothing to do with what we're saying, but I just want to show you that he left in his tzava. Levi Yitzchak, it's at the beginning of almost all of the prints of Reb Levi Yitzchak. He writes, it's a quote, I just want to quote this for you while I'm here. Mi she'ein boi mida toiva hazois lirois tamid rak toivi yosher bi Yisrael. If somebody doesn't have this mida to be able to see good in other Jews, ve'ein boi mida toiva akdoish l'saper tamid b'shvachei Yisrael, and he's not able to say something nice about another Jew, but she Yisrael Yum Shubachum Farm Tamid Bainov, and he doesn't always see the qualities of another Jew. But Ain Boy Amida Tovak Dosh Lamit Schus Sanigura al Yisrael, and he's not able to be down people Lagaf Schus. Azai Yadan Amana, we can know clearly Shla Yiske Kol Yimei Chayev Lichnois Bepesach Shara Avodas Habayra. He'll never be an Avod Hashem. If you don't have the ability to be able to say something good about another person and see something good about another person, you have no kesher, you can't even walk through the door, he says, of Avodas Hashem. You can't even walk through the door of Avodas Hashem. It's like...
That's why it's the first mitzvah in the Siddur and
yeah, and Arizal. But I'm mentioning it because it says it here, but I'm mentioning it because it has to do with our Dibur. Yeah. And we're talking about Dibur. Dibur. So... Let me show you what he says. The Kedushas Levi is on the Parshas, then Likutim, and then he has something called Kedushas. And in the Kedusha Shnia, he says as follows. Bear with me. I wish I had a copy for everybody, but I don't. He talks about the Oisius. Nimsa Tmunas Oisius. Let's think about the Tmunas Oisius, the figure of the Oisius. Tmuna, the look. David, you asked why the klaf? What's the klaf in all of this? So this is what he's talking about. Nimmst du Tmunus Oisius Hek Shibetoich HaGuf VaHagashmius Shom Yesh Ha'oriz HaSeichel VaYolamos HaYoinim Hu Kitzir Elu Oisius VaHu Amoik. That in the font of the letters, what we have there is a manifestation of how the Kedusha, which is unlimited, Ha'ora El Yoino, which is unlimited, it's B'ligvul, can somehow, like a magnifying glass, be focused into a letter. Tzimtzum. You have how the highest, most esoteric B'ligvul is now coming down and it's showing itself in an ois, an aleph, and a beis. That's what it is. B'hu amak. Amnam b'aylam esel yainim, when it comes to the higher worlds, v'aylam ha-malachim, the world of malachim, ein sham shum tmuna shel gashmi. There's nothing gashmi is to put it into. U'tmuna sa'isiyah shel ksav shalom esel. What about goyim? They write too. What about them? Sha'olam ha-seichel mislabish b'sarei u'ma sa'ishelahem, v'einam seichel ha-yosher k'mo shulanu. It's not the same thing. They're taking their seichel and they're putting it into writing. But when you see the oisius of the Torah, you're taking Hashem's seichel kivyachol and you're putting it into writing. Then he says, he brings here, and it's something that I was v'hinei. Just before we get to the hinei. Listen to the sentence here. Very, very important sentence. There is, you open up a sefer, there's tmunas oisius. You see oisius. So yesh tmunas oisius, there's the visual aspect of the oisius, which are written in a book, or in a sefer Torah. V'yesh, but there's also lashon hamedaber mashakasa b'sefer. So what happens when something is written in a sefer, and now I start to read it, Vatar Bilo Vatelet Liyakov Bain. So I've taken the, says the Kedushas Levi, there's a difference between sight reading, I'm seeing the oisius, and saying the oisius. What we're learning in Nefesh HaChaim, the difference between Maisa and Dibur, or the difference between Nefesh and Ruach. Utmunas ha'isiyas aksuv b'sefer hudmus oilam ha'asiya oilam ha'teva. What you're seeing here is teva. I can make this with a pen. I can make it in a printer store. Shekein yeshlam gebul utmuna. It's limited. But lashon ha'medaber, however, once somebody reads it, they're saying it. Ma'ashakasuv b'sefer, they're saying out loud what it says in here. Hadibur ba'atzmai hi ruch niyasvein by gebul. I've taken something with a gebul, and I made it b'li gebul. I've taken something limited, and now I've made it unlimited. Hu neged oilam ha-seichel. That's what the seichel does when you read something. So he brings here, I mentioned on Sunday that Libi Amarli, that the difference, and I was saying my own svarab, and the reason I got excited is because I see here now inside something. You have Torah Shebiksav, you have Torah Shebal Peh. What's the difference? Something Torah Shebal Peh. So that Torah Shebiksav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to put it into oisius. Torah Shebal Peh, Hashem decided this is not going to go into oisius. One is in the world of Maisa, and one's in the world of Neshama Ruach. Machshava Dibur Maisa, Machshava Dibur Torah Shebal Peh, Machshava Dibur Maisa Torah Shebiksav. So, right? So it means to say that Torah Shebiksav is, in a sense, limited. You can't get imaginative here and say the words differently. There's no two ways to pronounce it. There's only one way to pronounce it. There's a ksiv and there's a kri. We have a Kabbalah mit Lamoshe Mishinai. Torah Shebal Peh, every Talmud, every Lamdan, everybody in the Beis Medrash has a right to say a Svara, because it's unlimited. Because the Ksav has a Maila and a Chasarn. The Maila is that we've taken the highest thing, says the Kedushas Levi, and we brought it down into this world of Asiya. But once it's, for lack of a better word, canonized, once it's written, it's written. You can't be Maisif on it. It is what it is. As long as it's Torah Shebaal Peh, it's Bligvul. So I thought to myself, and I said it with trepidation, that probably that's why Dvarim Shebaal Peh, Asur L'Koyshvam, that for all of history of the Jewish people, you weren't allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. You weren't allowed to write down. This is Baal Peh. Don't mix up two things. There's two concepts. This is Bli Gvul and this is Gvul. This is Neshama and Ruach. This is Maisa. Why are you mixing them up? Until Rabbi Yehuda Anasi comes and says, okay, everybody's forgetting all the Torah. Let's write it down. You can't. I mean, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, I mean, you can't make a change like that. Can you imagine? I'd make a change like that. Be Pashkevillin all over the world. What's he doing? Imagine such a thing. I mean, you know, like the whole one thing we do, we're not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Anasi takes his Talmidim. The beginning of this started with Rabbi Akiva of a Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva of a Talmidim, which is very important for us, started to write down pieces that they heard to keep the Messiah. Rabbi Anasi redacted the Torah Shebaal Peh. We need a Mishnayis. Ad kidei kach, that today, if you don't have a Mishnayis, not even from. But at the time, it must have been such a brave act. On a deep level, what was he doing? This was just like a chaval. They would have had videos in those days. He wouldn't have to write down the Torah because he just say it and it stays Torah Shebaal Peh. What do you have to write it down for? It was something much deeper than that, I believe. He was taking something bleak gvul and he was giving it a gvul. Just like the Tanakh was canonized by the Anshei Knesset HaGdola many generations before, sealed. So now Mishnayos is going to be sealed. Because everybody, first of all, is going to come and say, I heard this way, I heard that way, I have a different Messiah, I have this Messiah, that Messiah. No, it's sealed. More important, the Torah Shebaal Peh went through 2,000 years of development, as the Gemara explains in Avodah Zarah, and it came to the point of Olam Asiyas, and now Rabbi Yehuda Anasi puts it into Gashmias. So I was afraid to say that. I said it anyway, because, you know, we're all friends. He brings here in the bottom of the Kedusha Levi, the Maral says this. Ayin gur aryeh, shmois lamadal chavzayin, lama lehuter lichtoiv Torah Shebaal Peh. Why can't they write down Torah Shebaal Peh? Because there's no kates for Torah Shebaal Peh. How do you write it down? Melech said, what are you writing down some svarim for? Ain't kates. That's how he reads it. You can only write down what you're supposed to write down, that which has contractual limitations. Torah Shebaal Peh, the Chol Davar Shenichtav, once something is written down, it's words in a Maral, Hu Meshuar Umugbal. Once you write it down, you see, everything, I just want to explain something here. Everything you take down a notch, I'm using down, not in terms of direction, but just you take it down a notch, you lose the notch before it. So, for instance, if I'm very inspired by something, my neshama is inspired. I see a beautiful sunset. I hear a beautiful song. So the first thing I want to do is I want to go home to my wife and tell her about the beautiful sunset that I saw. Now, first of all, it's boring to hear about a sunset. It's one thing to see a sunset, but there's nothing to hear. Nothing. What are you talking about? Unless I'm like a poet, you know, what are we going to say about the sunset? Oh, the sun was up and went down. What are you going to say about it? You have to be there. There's certain things you have to feel. But worse than that, when Hashem gives me a matana of a regesh, so the Arizal says, don't right away say it. Because once you say it, you're taking it from the bechina of neshama to the bechina of ruach. And if you write it down, you're putting it into the world of dibur, of the world of maisa. So don't say it, keep it for yourself a little bit. You keep it for yourself. Your neshama is working with it. So you don't have to share every time you're inspired by something. You have to wait till it does its job on your neshama before you bring it down. Because once you describe the sunset, you lost the sunset. In the words of Reb Chaim Brisker, Nishtal sos matrach, dafen zogen. Not everything you think you have to say. Mitzad sheni, and there is a tzad sheni for this. Sometimes you're thinking Dvar Torah, let's say, or it could be a theory in physics, Lahavdil, and you've got it, such a brilliant thought. It's so gewaldic. And then you go to say it over. This happens to me all the time. And it doesn't hold water. Because when you're making this transition from the Olam of Neshama to the Olam of Dibur, the Nefesh HaChaim says in Shar Dalad, it's like, when a Shoichet has a sakin, you have to make sure there's no nicks. So he takes his fingernail and he rubs it against it with his eyes closed to see if he feels any nicks in the blade. So the Chaim Volozhin says, that's what the tongue does for a Dvar Torah, which was in your Machshava. As you say it, so even if nobody else feels the nick, you feel it. This is not what I thought it was. And sometimes you have to stop in the middle. So there's a chasarn of dibur, but there's also a maila of dibur, that it brings it into the world of Gashmi. He said it has to hold water. It has to hold water. Otherwise, it's just imaginary. So, Torah Shebal Peh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi comes along and says, let's write this down. This wasn't an exercise because of forgetfulness only. What he's saying, we're now going to take a paradigm shift. We're going to make a paradigm shift to go from Torah Shebal Peh, which is also going to become a Torah Shebiksav. You see, even after Rebbe wrote everything down and the Gemara was written down, Ravina Ravashi wrote everything down, it became a Kubbal, the one thing wasn't written down so much was Kabbalah. And even when it was written down in such a confusing Lashon that it was very hard to understand. You needed a Rebbe to teach you Kabbalah. And he had to hear it from his Rebbe. There's no such thing as reading it, just reading it like you're reading everything else. Why did they write in such confusing ways? Not because they were bad writers. They wrote in such confusing ways because they didn't want to lose the regesh of understanding it from the place of neshama. They wanted to give it over to the Talmidim in a way that they're not putting it into the Bechina of Dibur. Today, everything's written down. The Kedushas Levi, whatever you don't understand, it's explained. It's in English. It's in French. So is the Zayar, so is the Shara Kavanas of the Arizal. Rav Arya Kaplan spilled the beans, which is good, because you saw art scroll, a time for a paradigm shift where it's getting more focused, more Magusham. By the way, as everything becomes more in the world of Gashmias, what you have is Malchus. And once you have Malchus, you have Mashiach. So all of these things are sad in a way that it's all getting written down. It's all very explicit on the one hand. But on the other hand, it took something infinite, made it finite. And like he says here, and I'm going to stop now because I'm only getting to a drop of what I wanted to say. But let me just begin the second drop. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, what is the Gvil, as David asks? In other words, Rav Nefesh HaChaim talks about the letter, the nekudos, the song. What's the parchment? It's not the body, because the tagim are the nefesh is the body, and the tagim are the enlivenment of the body. So what's the parchment? So let me just introduce something to you before we get to the Kedusha Levi on Sunday. But in the Torah it says in the Zayis HaBracha, very end, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayoymar," and he said, Moshe, This is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Hashem, Misinai ba. Hashem came from Har Sinai. Zarach meseyer lamoy haifia mehar paran vasim rivois kodesh. First he toured the world, asked them if they wanted the Torah, as everybody knows, and he came to Sinai. Miminoi eish dos lamoy. Eish dos. What's an eish dos? Eish dos lamoy. He gave us the Torah as the fire. Eish dos lamoy. The fire of his thinking he gave to us. What words? Eish dos lamoy. Rashi says, Eish dos. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu call it Eish dos? Sounds like the name of a shul. It's a very deep word. Eish dos. Shehosek suva me'az lefanav. The Torah was written in Hashem's world from before the world was created, be'esh shchira al gabe esh levana. It was written black fire, I don't know what black fire is, but black fire on top of white fire. It says, Rashi, nosam lahem beluchais, ksav yad, yiminai. Miyiminai, esh das lamai. So, Eish dos, meaning the Torah, was written black on white fire. Black fire on white fire. It's wild. Moshe Rabbeinu saw this fire, black fire on white fire. Says Rashi, it's a Chiddush in Rashi, I'll show you why it's a Chiddush Rashi, that Hashem took that writing in the Shamayim, wherever it was, Me'oz always was that way, and he engraved it into the Luchais. Took the Rucha, the Ruchnias, took the Heish, the Bligvul, and he put it into stone, carved in stone. Charus ala Luchais. The Torah says about the Luchais, Aluchais, Maisa Lakim Heim, Vamichtav, Michtav Alakim Heim. This was all holy, everything about it, but it was stone, Sof Kol Sof, it was stone. Eish dos lamai. Let's leave you with this. The makar for this Rashi is Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says in Shkolim, Parak Vav in Shkolim, listen carefully to the nuance. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Reish Lakish Amar. Rabbi Pinchas Amara heard this from Reish Lakish. Interesting, because usually it's Reish Lakish heard from someone. Pinchas heard this from Reish Lakish. He says, Torah, wasn't the word, this is the Makar. Torah shenasa naKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. The Torah which Hashem gave to Moshe, nisana loy be'esh levana charusa be'esh shechira. He gave it to him black on white fire. Not it was there. Me'oz, as Rashi says, but that's not what Chazal say. He gave him, here Moshe, have some fire.
It wasn't that way before. It
doesn't say about before. It's just, Torah shenasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, nesana lai, how did he give it to him? Be'esh levana, charusha be'esh shechera. Listen to what the Pirush says here. Zemedubar, this is talking about, what is talking about? So he says, Zemedubar, the Torah Moshe asher lamad berakia. It's talking about the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu learned on Har Sinai, not the Oil Ma'id, not anywhere else. Har Sinai, lamad berakia. Mi sefer Torah Hashem, he was learning from the Torah Hashem. Vehetik mimenu Torah Seinu. Moshe Rabbeinu copied it down.
The Torah Hashem was a black or white fire.
Yeah, okay. A little bit different.
That was before.
Yeah. Who are we saying that? Moshe Rabbeinu is on Har Sinai. He sees, let's lefi what we can understand. He sees a Sefer Torah, which is black on white fire. He learns from it, and he says here, "Vehetuk mimenu Torah sein." And from there, he wrote down our Torah based on that black and white thing. brings us from the Karbonite down the Yerushalm.
What did he write down?
I don't know. What did he write down? Where did he write down? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down the mountain with the Sefer Torah in his hand. The Zohar Torah or something. You didn't know. The first Sefer Torah was only 40 years later. Bar Vizmaya. He didn't come down with he came down with the Luchos and he broke them. So Rashi takes the Yerushalmi and Shkolim, but he twists it around from what the Mepharshim say and what is the simple shot. And he says, okay, must be talking about the Luchos. And it's not, it's that Hashem, when he put his words into the Luchos, he put them in with an Eish, Shchoyro Gavil Eish Levana. Rashi, Bimkoim, Munach, I'm not one to argue with Rashi. I'm just saying that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Rashi was muchrach to say a pshat because it doesn't make sense any other way. That's what Rashi's learning, teaching us pshat. What did he come down with? Where did he write? First of all, he didn't come down with the Sefer Torah. Second of all, he didn't write the Luchos. Aluchos Maisa Elokim Heima V'Amichtav Michtav Elokim. He didn't write the Luchos. He just got the Luchos. He received the Luchos. He didn't write the Luchos. The second Luchos, different story. Let's talk about the first Luchos. The second Luchos is Sol Luchos Ne Luchos Avonim Kirishonim. You write it down. Okay, that's a different story. But the first Luchos, so what is this talking about? What is it? Oh. So let me leave you with this cliffhanger, so you have to come back on Sunday. What was the Eish Shechayra? What was the Eish Levana? How does it correspond to the Oisius and the Torah that both the Nefesh HaChaim and the Bar Ditchever are telling us that what we're talking about is a transformation of Ruchnius turning into Gashmius Bligvul, turning into Gvul. Starting with Eish, what happened over here? I just read you on the right side, the Kosev. The Kosev in the Ein Yaakov means the one who actually wrote the Ein Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Ibn Habib. It's a huge Talmud Chacham, the Rav of Yerushalayim. He writes here, this is just read you these three words. Yadati shalo yadati. Yadati shalo yadati. Sometimes you got to know what you don't know. So he says, I don't know. That's his comment here. I don't know. But we're going to know because we're going to have a main because I think that 4 pages later, Reb Levi Yitzchak explains it to us, this Gemara, in a way which is you can't budge from his svara, and it'll understand the Nefesh HaChaim accordingly.